Tonight's amazing race recap is sponsored by the Aero Cart by Works, because Works has reinvented lifting and hauling with the new Works Aero Cart. With the Aero Cart 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works, heavy loads are easy to lift and haul. I bet Zach and Rachel wish that they would have had access to an Aero Cart by Works when they were trying to carry all of that water up from the ocean to complete the roadblock tonight. And they did not, but I bet if they did, they would not be eliminated in this leg of the race, because it's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly all in one. And with the patented TurboLift technology, it makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting a measly 17 pounds. With two oversized wheels, even awkward loads can stay balanced, so you'll never strain your back. There's plenty of clips on works.com, that's W-O-R-X.com, where people are moving bags of topsoil, gravel, even refrigerators, you name, without any help. It's even turned me into a move-it-all, lift-it-all, haul-it-all, know-it-all. So go to aerocart.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout to receive free shipping and 10% off. That's aerocart.com, A-E-R-O-C-A-R-T.com, and receive free shipping plus 10% off at checkout. Enjoy the show. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is always serving I'm a Slave for You realness, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Amazing race recap after episode number 9 of Amazing Race 28. And I'm very excited to bring back my co-host, our chief RHAP Amazing Race correspondent, the always salty Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
Well, in fairness, Rob, I didn't go anywhere. You're the one that went somewhere.
Yes, that's right.
So
that's
I'm really bringing you back.
Yes, that's true. That's true. You are bringing me back. And we are ready to go. And believe me, I am extra salty after being on a cross-country flight with my kids. I don't know how many podcasts I can open talking about that, but it's very harrowing, Jess.
Yeah, duly noted. Don't travel with children under 3.
Yeah. Yeah, so, don't get me started about that again, boy. But Jess, let's talk about this, because I thought this was a really exciting episode of The Amazing Race tonight. A bounce-back episode after last week's non-elimination festivities. A lot going on here tonight.
Yeah, this was an eventful episode. I was very excited.
A lot going on here. I really was at the edge of my seat that last half hour. Really thought this was going to be the end of Brody and Kurt.
All signs were pointing to it. And like, we learned so much about Brody and Kurt this episode, I feel like.
They really faked me out. Did they fake you out?
Yeah. Well, they went to the cancer well. And you know, you go to the cancer well, it usually means we want to feel really bad for these people so that we're extra impacted when they get eliminated.
Yes, absolutely. I thought that was the case 110%. But no, it was the Final Cut king and queen.
That's got to be rough for you, Rob.
Yeah, Zach and Rachel are out. And I was rooting for them so hard, you know, that I had picked them in the fantasy draft early on. I'm not sure if you remembered or not, but that I never before this season had I rooted harder for them. And, you know, this great story where Rachel's the only woman who's doing the water task, and then she overcame the odds, and then it was like this whole storyline where Brody was blowing it and it was like they were going to come back, but it was all for naught.
Yeah, that was really unexpectedly sad ending to the leg, I think, especially like the photo finish at the end.
Unceremonious.
Very unceremonious. And there's no way they could just like, you know, snap their fingers and all of a sudden their boat's on the other side of the water.
Yeah, it was like a football game where your team is like blown out at halftime and it's like, oh, well, I guess that they're going to lose this week. And they come like all the way back and force overtime and then lose then.
So it's kind of like watching the Knicks.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if the Knicks have
The Mets 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's like, but I think that a lot of sports fans can relate to that. But anyway, so a lot to unpack here tonight as we start to approach now the final couple of weeks of the Amazing Race 28. And we are down to the final 5 teams. We will have our exit interview with Zach and Rachel, barring any unforeseen circumstances, coming up early next week. Look for that on RHAP. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of that. We'll also take your tweets, hashtag RHAP. Also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube, taking your questions. Also, quick shout out to Dan Heaton and Mike Bloom, who were here in my stead last week with Jessica. Thank you guys so much for filling in for me while I was the best man at my sister-in-law's wedding.
That was amazing. We had so much fun, Rob.
And why? Because I wasn't there?
I'm not saying that, but, you know, we did some of the things that, you know, you always tell me I can't do. Like, you know, we tapped a keg and we had the jello shots and, you know, we threw a rave. And yeah, it was an amazing time.
Jess, you know, I already have a complex about people have more fun when I'm not around. Don't make me also get more and more insecure.
Okay. None of that happened, but we did have a really fun podcast.
Okay. Jess, I really want to talk about this storyline with Brody and Kurt, because I feel like this was really out of nowhere. I feel like that maybe we were asleep at the switch. Back in The Amazing Race, was it 24, where Dave and Connor, where it was like, I don't want to you know, get Dave and Connor mad, but it was like a thing, right, where, you know, Connor did like 12 roadblocks that season, something like that, right?
I think he did 8. But, you know, in fairness, Dave was an old man.
Yes, yes.
He was so old, and you can't expect old people to do roadblocks.
As I've heard. And so now this season, all of a sudden, this storyline that we weren't even paying attention to, all of a sudden, Kurt has done every single roadblock, and Brody has to do everything. And also, by the way, Brody is like dumb or something. What is the problem here? I thought that it's like, all of a sudden, I was like, okay, well, like, they started talking about, like, well, Kurt did everything. I'm like, oh, well, it doesn't seem like a problem. Seems like Brody seems like he'd be pretty good at everything, right? But all of a sudden, it was like, doo-doo-doo, like, Brody got, it was, forget Brody, it was like a Dodo-Dody.
Yeah, and...
That was a stretch. That was admittedly, that was a stretch.
I was just gonna let it ride, Rob, because, yeah, I don't know where this storyline came from, like, the Brody sucks at everything storyline. Like,
yeah,
maybe,
Brody is like an idiot. Who knew?
Maybe he's
we were
just,
so distracted with Blody that it was there was this whole Brody sucks at everything and Kurt is the man storyline that was right under our nose.
Well, I mean, Kurt beat cancer. After you beat cancer, a roadblock is nothing, right?
Yes. Well, that's like Dave and Connor. Obviously, that's why Dave was so awesome.
Yeah, well, Connor also beat cancer, and he was awesome.
Oh, I forgot. Well, that's why they were doubly so awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness, we got to point out that the roadblock imbalance was not that bad. They were not the only people that had the roadblock imbalance going into this. Like, Zach and Rachel had the same problem, and Tyler and Corey had the same problem. Like, Corey's really pulling all the weight on that team, and Zach had done an equal amount of roadblocks. So,
yeah,
It wasn't this very highly Dave and Connor-esque specific problem endemic to Kurt and Brody. But it is interesting that this was what they chose to highlight. Like, oh yeah, Brody totally sucks and he's just depressed now that he doesn't have his girlfriend in the race anymore, so he's useless at everything.
See, I didn't even think that they put that storyline out there.
No, they didn't.
Blair wasn't there.
It's interesting. They just kind of totally did a 180 on the story that we're telling about the Frisbee Bros. They used to be like, you know, it was the, you know, the Lothario and his wingman, and now it's like the, you know, bumbling idiot and Superman.
I mean, like, isn't Brody sort of like a borderline professional athlete that he's famous for making like these impressive like feats of dexterity with a Frisbee, and now all of a sudden he's just like a total buffoon and that Kurt is the only one that could do anything on this team? I mean, I'm being tongue-in-cheek here because it seems like that the show, just every single comment and a piece of exposition in the episode was like, boy, Brody is such an idiot.
Maybe they need to have a, like, flirting with the ladies roadblock.
I don't know.
On the other hand, you know, Kurt's the one in the relationship. Like, he was right. He had a girlfriend coming into this thing, so
it was like, okay, Kurt is amazing. Kurt does everything that he's done every single task so far, and it wasn't just some fluke. It's because that Brody was incompetent, where he doesn't know how to put the kite together without instructions. He has to cheat off of Ashley. Then he doesn't understand where the pieces go. Then that his fingers are too fat that he can't tie bows, or he has to tie bows because he can't tie knots. He did the knots wrong and everything. And now it's almost like, is this just for this episode to set up this exciting finish? Or do we have to worry about Brody and Kurt moving forward, that they have the liability in Brody having to do all these roadblocks?
Well, I mean, in fairness, Rob, this narrative did kind of, there were kind of sparks of this narrative last week when Brody was unable to solve a puzzle that involved putting the letters R, A, C, and E in order. And had to
use their express pass. That you, they put them in order. I think you had to land them in the snow globe.
You did, but it was not the way he talked about it. It was like he was doing Sudoku.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
yes.
Not even the Sudoku at the front of the Sudoku book, like at the back.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, there was a little bit of this, like we saw him make arguably a pretty bad decision last week. And I think that kind of lays the groundwork, like, see, this is what happens when Brody does the roadblocks.
Yes.
And I think we might be getting set up for like an early Frisbee bro ouster, because now they've made a specific point several times of saying, now Brody has to do all of the roadblocks that are left. And
it was so heavy handed.
It was very,
if we heard it, you know, five times, if we heard it once.
Yeah. So it's like, maybe we're kind of, this is maybe a multi-episode arc. Like, this is a bad decision that led to this other bad decision. And now the bad decision has led to Brody having to pull all the weight that Kurt used to pull. And, you know.
Yeah. And not only that, we had Tyler talking about what a bad decision it must have been that they used the express pass in leg number 8. I can't believe it. Why aren't they? You saw Zach saying, why aren't they using the express pass? It was a lot of all the other teams commenting on what are Brody and Kurt doing in this leg of the race. And we kind of considered them up until halfway into this episode, the presumptive favorite to win this, this season of the Amazing Race. Probably you had them a little bit ahead of Tyler and Corey, who had had some, weeks where they were lagging at the back of the pack. But now I feel like that this is very much in doubt.
Well, you know, this is actually, this makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
If you want the truth, it's,
yeah,
really very exciting to know that there's a weak spot on the Frisbee Bros team, just as there was a weak spot on Tyler and Corey. That means it really could be anybody's race, like almost anybody. But
now we learned about Brody that he was having problems tying the knots because of his aforementioned huge fingers, Jess. We also learned tonight that he also...
I got the hugest snake.
Also, the hugest snake.
All right. Well, I'm kind of shocked it didn't work out with Blair then.
Yes. Yes. Was that slowing him down?
Maybe it was. I'm given to understand that, you know, huge fingers and the hugest snake can sometimes slow you down.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is really exciting to me now. I was really glued to the edge of my seat this whole last half of the race of what's going to happen. And now moving forward, I don't know. Was this just a one night only, or are Brody and Kurt going to soon be eliminated?
Well, I think it could go either way. And we've seen already on this season, anything can happen, because we thought Tyler and Corey were totally done and they're back on top.
Bounce back.
Yeah, I think almost anybody can have that kind of setback and come back from behind. So if anybody can do it, I think, you know, it's the team of the guys that beat cancer and the guy that, you know, can't build a kite.
Yeah, the kites were pretty amazing. I was very impressed with the kites that were made in this leg of the Amazing Race.
That was a stunning visual. I really loved watching those kites.
Yeah. Now, just again, this narrative of Team Rooster Teeth, they always think that they're going to finish in first, but again, they finish in second and second and second. This is the fourth leg in a row. They come in with a second place. Do you think, will they fulfill the destiny of the Joey and Kelsey, where it's second, 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 and eventually their first place finish will be in the final leg of the race?
Do you think we're going to get back-to-back Joey and Kelsey edits?
I mean, is it a Joey and Kelsey edit? I mean, if it just so happened that back-to-back seasons, a team kept coming in second and then eventually came in first, what is Amazing Race supposed to do? It's not scripted.
They don't need to mention it. They don't need to keep lampshading it, you know?
But why? But I guess you wouldn't mention it. You would talk about it if that kept happening.
You might, or you might ignore it, because that's happened to teams before and it went unnoticed. So I think we could have a different narrative for Bernie and Ashley if we chose to do so. I think it's interesting that they're getting this again. And I don't know whether it's because they win or because, you know, they get their first place and they go out. Because that actually, Amazing Race Canada last summer, we had that happen with a team. They were third place for many weeks in a row. And then they're like, I just want to get first place just one time. They get their first place. They make the finals and they're out.
Once they got there.
Yeah, once they got there.
Too soon.
Yep, they sure did. And that was...
I don't want to peek too soon.
No, you never do.
No, not ideal. So for Zach and Rachel, let's close the book on Zach and Rachel. What was your take on them? You ultimately just said in the preseason, you felt like this was going to be the team that you were going to forget was on the race along the way. Obviously, that was not the case.
Well, I did a couple of weeks in there.
Jess!
But...
How dare you!
Hey, man. I think some teams would argue that it's better if I forget they're there.
Yeah. For Zach and Rachel, though, it was such a exciting story. Now, again, that you have to say the cardinal sin here was not taking a look at the roadblock before they decided who was going to do it, right?
Yeah, but you can never tell how much of the roadblock
in jeopardy too, just like Kurt and Brody, of that it had been that Zach had done too many things.
They were in that place, and there wasn't, like, it was exactly the same imbalance that Kurt and Brody were facing. So,
well, how do you know? Do you track this stuff?
It's on Wikipedia. Someone tracks this.
I'm so sorry.
I don't need to track it myself. And I think you should know now, after we did our draft and we, you know, hammered out scoring, that anytime you say, I wish I could track this statistic, someone out there on the internet is already tracking.
Yes, I just wanted to know where you go to get this.
Yeah, Wikipedia is where you go to get this.
Okay.
So there was that imbalance, and they may have been thinking, well, there's a detour up ahead, so it doesn't really matter what this roadblock is. We can have Rachel do it, and then she ups her roadblock count, and we don't max out Zach's roadblocks. I could see them having that train of thought. I could also see them not really being able to see right away what the task entailed.
Mm-hmm. But if you could, shouldn't you always try to get a peek on what the task is going to be before you decide who does it?
You can't always. So I think it really varies from task to task. If you can, you should. But I don't think anybody willfully ignores it if they can see what the task is.
Right. But are you knocking Zach and Rachel for not getting a good look at it, for trying harder?
I feel like you're knocking Zach and Rachel for not getting a good look at it.
Yeah, because I thought that you would say, obviously, this is like Amazing Race 101, that you would want to take a look at the task and decide who's going to do the roadblock, especially if it's something physical where all the other teams had especially the co-ed teams had the male member of the team do this because they thought it was going to be more of a physically strenuous thing. Zach seemed to immediately regret that he wasn't the one doing this task. I'm surprised that you're not more critical of them in this.
You know, I'm not, because I don't think they could see what it was, and I don't think it looked that hard when you could see it. Okay. So I think it was deceptively taxing, and I think Tyler and Corey made the exact same mistake, probably for the exact same reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They
are you allowed to go down and go check it out before you make that pick?
No, you're not.
Okay.
If you can see it from where you are, you can kind of get a taste of it. But there are some tasks where you open that clue, you're in an entirely different building from where the roadblock is happening, and you can't see what it is. And so it really does vary from task to task.
Now, Jess, this is a leg of the Amazing Race with a double roadblock, no detour. How uncommon is that?
It's happened. It's not super common, but it's something like they frequently will do it to start off a season. Like, this is frequently a leg one thing where just so that they make sure everybody has to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like this where it's, and then the other person has to do what's going on. But do you feel like should they tell them up front that the person who does this is not going to do the second task?
Well, no, because that makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you knew there was another roadblock coming up, you might do things differently. And it leads to some surprises where you have, you know, one person doing a task that maybe they wouldn't have chosen to take. And I think that's where some of the more compelling television happens.
Okay, good. All right, so then in terms of the closing the book on Zach and Rachel, they do almost sort of mount the comeback. I really feel did feel like that once, you know, Rachel, she persevered to get through this, and then it turned out that putting salt into bags was kind of her thing. She made up a lot of time there.
Yeah, well, it turned out Kurt was not very good at that.
No, Kurt was not great at it also. I don't know if he also has huge fingers.
I wouldn't know. Something you'll have to ask them whenever you get to interview them.
My fingers are huge.
Could also potentially be a problem.
I guess it could. I noticed Cole was having the same trouble. Like, he smoked the first half of the task, and then he went to tie up the salt bags, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah, you got to really jam a lot of salt in those bags. I mean, why can't you just have a fifth bag of salt?
Well, you can't cheat your customers. I think this was a point that was made. And you notice, I would imagine it was probably even harder because they were dehydrated. You know what happens to your hands when you get dehydrated?
What happens?
They swell up. Especially like if you have too much salt in your system, which they've been kind of probably absorbing. So try to tie up these tiny little bags with big, puffy, swollen up heat fingers. You know, that's got to be tough.
You know what? When I buy a bag of salt, I prefer if it wasn't completely filled up to capacity, because there's no way I'm opening that without spilling a quarter of that bag of salt everywhere.
Well, that's why you put it in a container and then you punch the bag of salt and then you don't spill it anywhere.
Yeah. I like my salt in a grinder anyway.
All right.
How about that, Jess?
So, I hear there's an app called Grindr. Is that about salt?
That's different. that's different. Hold on. Slow down.
You're swiping left on the salt?
No. I'm grinding my salt. all right. Let's talk about the plight of Dana and Matt, who've had a rough couple of weeks, certainly a bounce back week for them after a very trying week number 8. How do you feel like Dana and Matt were holding up this week?
You know, the funny thing is Dana and Matt are that team that I forget is there unless they're in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know.
They sort of don't have a thing if they're not fighting.
Yeah, if they're not fighting, like, that was why they were cast. They're the fighting couple. And if they're not fighting, then they're just kind of doing the tasks and being there.
But boy, they really go from 0 to 60.
Yeah, they really, there's like, it's like Dr. Dana and Matt and Mr. Dana and Matt.
Yeah, like, I thought they were going to break up last week.
Maybe they did. Maybe they got back together.
They got back together.
Or it could be one of those situations where you break up and all of a sudden you function much better.
Yeah. Speaking of bounce back weeks, it was also a bounce back week for Sherry and Cole, who came in last place in the non-elimination leg, had to do a roadblock this week. Although I felt like maybe they did not win over any Indonesian fans tonight.
Yeah, it seemed like that was a little bit, you know, some people, I guess you need to have a complex palate to appreciate a wide range of food. But
yeah, it felt like they were a little overly critical of the Indonesian cuisine, which they had to serve. Maybe they were a little more insulting than they needed to be.
I mean, Sherry did mention on Twitter that it was one of the spiciest things she'd ever eaten.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't all have, you know, multiple kinds of hot sauce in our fridge. So, you know.
Like you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have a 6 on last count. But some people don't go in for that. And it could well have been like season 6 Hungarian soup spicy. Like, we don't know.
Yes. Wow. Well, I, for one, do not put that S on everything, unlike some people. And so I probably would not have done well with the spicy, but I felt like that maybe they didn't need to start referring to the meatballs as goat testicles.
Yeah, that was a little bit excessive. just a touch.
Yeah.
I thought it looked delicious, personally. Like, I would have been all up in that.
Yeah. So the roadblock here, Jess, in terms of how difficult these roadblocks tend to be, did you think this was an especially tough one?
As far as speed bumps go, I thought when they described what it was, it sounded difficult. Like, it sounded like, you know, there was a speed bump in season 15 in Vietnam where they had to make a bowl of soup. They didn't even have to eat it, and they didn't have to sell it to anyone. They certainly didn't have to sell 10 of them to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And
for 10,000 rupees.
Yeah. I don't know how much that is in American dollars, but it was probably a bargain because the soup looked amazing and I wanted to eat it. But yeah, they had the part where you have to sell things, that can be a real mixed bag. Like sometimes it goes very fast and sometimes you could be there all day. So I yeah. thought it was pretty, it was a pretty lucky thing that there were a ton of people there basically clamoring for it as fast as they could make it. So it wasn't that tough in the end, but on paper, that could have been very tough.
Yeah, let's talk about the week for Tyler and Corey, where we ended up seeing Corey had to do the, I'm sorry, Tyler had to do the first part of the challenge in terms of salting or wetting the salt field. Then Corey had to take over and do the kite, resulting in a first place finish. Strong week. Old Tyler and Corey are back, Jess.
They are. And I think the underreported story of the season is that Corey is really the superstar on that team. I mean, Tyler is the funny one, and Corey is the one who gets stuff done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, are you sleeping on Tyler?
I might be sleeping on Tyler a little bit. Like, he has not proven...
Are you sleeping on perhaps the second most beloved tie on CBS reality this week?
You know... Little skinny guys with glasses named Ty are having the best week ever.
Super popular on CBS reality.
That's true. And next week, did you see they get a chicken pal?
Yeah. All right.
It's like, well, crossover. Hopefully... It's like synergy.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. If they could ever, you know, get those two guys together, you know, it would be a huge moment for CBS reality. Ty and Ty. But a really strong week coming back. Very excited to have Corey mention at one point in the episode.
Love you, boo.
That's almost love you, bae.
Yeah. What do you prefer? Are you a love you, boo, or
love you, bae?
I'm actually.
What's your favorite?
I'm a don't check me, boo.
Oh, okay. Don't check me, boo.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll get a don't check me, bae.
Don't check me, boo.
Don't check me, boo. All right. Jess, what else from this leg of the race?
I think we need to talk about Zach and Rachel's flourish on the end of their elimination.
Yes, why did they have to walk the plank?
Yeah, nobody told them they had to do that.
Well, Phil was like, well, Zach and Rachel, that's it for us. We're sailing off and you have to leave now. Like, well, I guess we'll walk the plank.
Yeah, he didn't specify how they had to leave. They
like Pirate Master.
They went that way on their own.
Yeah, where I mean, once Zach and Rachel walk the plank, have we heard from them? Are we sure they're okay after this?
Well, if they don't answer the call on Monday when you do your exit interview, I guess you might have to guess that they drowned.
Right after the amazing race, just abandoned them in the sea in Indonesia.
Yeah, like. I mean, who knows? They could have washed up on an island somewhere and they're living off the land.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, we know now that they know how to make their own salt after this.
Yeah, that's true. That was useful information, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it really, it was so misleading. I guess it was not predictable, but they were trying to make it seem like, oh, this is perfect for Zach. He's good at Legos. He can put stuff together. Brody all of a sudden is dumb. He doesn't know how to put anything together. He can't count. He can't tie bows. They don't know how to row the boat, Brody and Kurt.
Yeah. And I don't even think he was that bad at the kite. Like, I think maybe Zach made up a lot of time on the kite, but they were just so far behind that it didn't matter in the end.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Well, Jess, let's get into some of these questions. You ready? Okay, here we go. Let's start here. First question of the night from Derek wants to know, which is the top contender for the $1 million mistake this season? Rachel doing the salt roadblock or Brody burning EP last leg? The express pass.
I got to say, I think Brody burning the express pass was a bigger mistake.
Really? Because considering that Zach and Rachel are out of the race and Brody and Kurt are still in the race, wouldn't that inherently make Zach and Rachel make the bigger mistake?
Not really. I think
how, Jess?
It was a game ending blunder for Zach and Rachel, but you know, people do tiny dumb things. People do large dumb things. People get eliminated. Someone's got to get eliminated every week. And Brody and Kurt's turn may yet be coming.
I don't know, Jess. I got to feel like that the game ending mistake.
Why do you ask me if I'm wrong and you know I'm wrong from the start?
Oh, now you sound like Nicole.
Well, you're bringing this
out. Can we have a debate? Can we have a debate about this?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like you're setting me up for failure.
Well, we can discuss the question.
Okay. Yes, we can discuss the question.
Yeah, I don't want to turn it to Dana and Matt here.
No danger of that.
And the podcast on this. But I feel like that if you make a mistake and then it costs you your game, it has to be bigger than a mistake that doesn't cost you the game.
I mean, that's a fair point. Brody and Kurt are still in it, and they haven't, up to this point, made any mistakes. Like, really, before this leg, they hadn't made any mistakes that were really putting them in any kind of danger. But I don't know if that's just because they were, you know, that good to begin with. Like, the margin of error is bigger for Brody and Kurt.
Okay, so you feel like because they seem like that they were, that they had a better shot to win, if this cost them the win, it was a bigger blunder?
Yeah, I think the blunders are equally large. It's just one of them ousted a team and one of them didn't. But I do see your point.
Okay. All right. This is from Jazz Bidgood. Has a team ever been saved by two non-eliminations before? I would much rather have seen Sherry and Cole go home last week and save Zach and Rachel this week. That has happened before,
that
right?
That has happened dozens of times before.
Yeah. It tends to be a team that comes in last is coming in last multiple times.
Yeah, and teams have won the race after surviving two non-eliminations.
Yeah, okay. Let's take another question. Adam555 wants to say, was the emphasis on roadblock strategy a welcome step in this season of Amazing Race in the absence of other strategical parts of the race, like booking your own flights? Jess, do you think that the emphasis on the roadblock strategy is overcompensating or compensating for not booking your own flights?
I think the race is at least thinking about the fact that if they're not having strategy in one part of the race, they got to put it somewhere else. Whereas we've had whole seasons where that might not necessarily have been the case. I think they're starting to realize that it's not the most exciting TV if everybody starts on even ground at the beginning of every single leg. And they've got to put something in there to make up for it. And it's got to be more the choices you make and the way you approach it cerebrally have as much bearing on how you do as how fast you get somewhere and how good you are at the task. So I think this ingredient is important and I'm glad it's in there.
More important than chili in the breakfast soup?
Well, I would eat that soup for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Wow. Jess, were you just happy the teams were able to drive cars last week?
It was fun to see them drive cars, and it was equally fun to see them like freak out about, nobody told me I'd have to drive a car. Like, what is this self-navigation thing we're talking about? Like, that was kind of fun because it kind of separated out like who really came prepared and who didn't.
Okay. Let's take a question from Adam555. Is a double U-turn too strong of a twist for the final five? A double U-turn coming up next week. Are you in, recoiling from this? Are you excited to see it?
I mean, I think it could.
Do you love it, Boo?
Love you, Boo.
I don't know if I love it, but I think having U-turns that late in the game can be really problematic, but you know, I don't dislike it. As long as they don't throw a fast forward in there as well, which I think we saw was a huge mistake in season 25. Like, as long as that's the only twist that they're going to throw at them that leg, I'm okay with it.
Okay. All right. That's next week's episode. This is from Jason A., who wants to know, was that fruit offering the same fruit offering as in season 22, Jess?
I spotted that as well.
Yes.
I don't think it's exact same
season 22.
Ones. I don't think they're exact same ones because I don't think the fruit would last that long, but they had to build those things.
Yeah. Again, and that was like the start of the episode with the Brody and Kurt potential dodo edit in this episode where they ended up going further away. It was like they just had to bring the fruit right to, you know, someplace that was 20 feet away. They ended up going all the way to some other, like bothering some monks that were doing something else.
Well, those were the snake monks.
Yes.
And they were like, this is not a snake. Go back and get me a snake.
That's right. That's right. The hugest snake you can find. Okay, then let's take a question from Marissa G, who wants to know, do you think that this leg would have been better to watch if the kite flying roadblock and the fruit basket snake's delivery was structured as a detour? I personally was not feeling the race vibe this episode. Jess, what do you think? Were you feeling the race vibe in this episode?
I thought it was competitive. Like, there was a lot of order switching, which I always like. I didn't think it was a problem, and I liked that, you know, the point at which I decided it was good leg design was when Bernie and Ashley were rolling up that second roadblock, and they said, okay, I'm ready to do a detour. And, what, it's not a detour? It kind of blew their minds a little bit, and I thought that kept them on their toes in a really good way. And I thought, when you think really hard about what these three tasks are and how you have to approach them and how difficult they are, I think it's very, very clear that the snakes and the baskets, you're carrying stuff. Like, some of it is, you know, some of it's a little bit, you know, repulsive stuff, but, you know, you're picking up stuff, you're carrying it, and then you're carrying it to another place. It's like right there. That's not a hard task. That's not something you could make half of a detour. And you certainly, I think the kites and the salt were both, you know, they tested different kinds of skill sets, and I think that was important to showcase. So I liked that both of those things had to get done.
Yeah. I like this leg of the race. I thought this was one of the better legs of this season.
I do too. I think everything was fun to watch, which is not always the case.
Okay. Let's go to Jazz, who says, never mind Zach and Rachel. I kept forgetting Dana and Matt are still on the show. Is there any hope of them winning if the show's ignoring them? Well, it doesn't ignore them when they fight.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they just have to get really, really mad at each other and then we'll remember they're there again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, we talk about this a lot on Survivor of this person can't win because they're not getting winner edit. Do you feel like on Amazing Race, is that as big of a deal, Jess?
It's less of a big deal. But if you don't have a story at this point, I don't think you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a team that's not doing anything remarkable and you also have a story, that gives you a pretty good shot. Like, again, I don't mean to keep going back to the Amazing Race Canada well, but Amazing Race Canada 2 had that exact problem where there was one team that was not that good. They didn't win any leg except the final one. And yet we knew all this crazy stuff about them. Like, every week they'd have like some new story about their lives, and it felt like you knew them surprisingly well for a team that was going to like punk out in third place. And so going into that finale, I thought, you know, there's a team that's real favorites to win, but I don't think they're going to do it. I think it's going to be these guys. And it was.
Okay, let's do two more questions. Rushmore wants to know, will the boy-girl teams W-turn the guy teams? Do you see that as a thing?
I would see that as a very strong possibility, especially if you have Kurt and Brody starting out in the back of the pack. This is a team that up until this week was fairly strong, even though one of them is apparently a total dodo. And
poor Brody, he went from the, oh, he's the object of Blair's affection to he's seems like we're like, who's Kurt? Well, Brody is the star of this team. He's the Frisbee bro. Kurt's just some guy. Now, all of a sudden that with Brody, he doesn't have Blair, that he's just that Kurt, he's an idiot. Kurt is the carrying this team. He's the hero.
Is he literally carrying this team on his back?
Literally carrying this team on his back. Brody is like dead weight now on the show.
Yeah, he really is. So I got to think, you see this very previously strong team, or, you know, Kurt plus this other guy, suffer a setback.
Kurt plus. That's what I wash my hair with.
Kurt plus. And they suffer a setback. This is a team that was the kind of one of the favorites to win. If you're ahead of them when you get to the U-turn, I have to imagine that's the team you want to U-turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that in terms of alliances, Jess, do you think that there is going to be battle lines drawn? Like, who do you think is with who at this point?
I don't know. It seems like everybody likes each other so much that I don't see any factions being formed. Like, anybody that was talking about that really early on is kind of not there anymore. So
Instagram model.
Yeah. I wasn't going to name names.
Okay. I'll name names. I keep it real. All right. Then finally, this is from Ompernam 108. Was Phil declaring to Tyler and Corey a first place victory before they came on the mat on the ship, even though Rooster Team was very close behind them? I wonder if they weren't actually that close behind them. We didn't see them in the same shot together. Don't you feel like that maybe Rooster Teeth was not as close as the edit might have said for Phil to say, Tyler and Corey, you're team number one. Come aboard, mateys.
Yeah, like if they weren't even swimming at that point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I always say? This is like Amazing Race viewing 101. If you don't see two teams in the same shot, that generally means they're probably not as close as they want you to think.
Yeah. Don't you think they'd kind of want that shot if you had two teams like neck and neck racing for first place?
Yeah, and whenever that is the case, we always get it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. All right, Jess, so next week should be a very interesting show with the W turn, Final Five. How many weeks are left here in the Amazing Race? This was episode number 9. Typically, is it 12 weeks?
It's 12 weeks, so we got 3 more.
12 weeks, so tell me how you think. So, do you think that, so we will expect our Amazing Race finale, what, the week before Survivor, the 13th is going to be the finale?
I think
Friday
that's
the 13th?
Usually, yeah.
What?
That's auspicious.
Anything can happen on a Friday the 13th. So next week will be the 29th of April. We'll get our, go down to what, Final Four, and then have what, non-elimination, and then go into the Final Three or Final Four on the is that what you think we'll do?
Sounds about right. Yeah, I think we're going down to the Final Four next week, and the week after that is probably going to be non-elimination.
Did we go into last season with 4 teams or 3 in the final leg?
We went in the final leg was 3 last season, but the 2 seasons prior to that there were 4. So there may not be any more non-elimination legs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I believe we've had 4 weeks now that we've had non-elimination.
Yeah, that maybe we're done. Maybe we're tapped out.
Yeah, there's been a lot of non-eliminations along the way. So I've done very few exit interviews. Only done, this is the 9th episode, and that I believe that Zach and Rachel will only be my 6th exit interview.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. Okay, so Jess, coming up here, that's 1 week from tonight. We were down to the only 3 episodes left in this season. Who's winning the Amazing Race?
Tyler and Corey.
Tyler and Corey. Okay.
I mean, you can't dispute. They're the most solid team right now. I think there's a very strong possibility somebody U-turns Kurt and Brody out of the game next week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. I do feel like there's a lot of drama here this season. I feel like I don't know who's going to win. If it did feel like that last season, we really sort of figured it out based on the edit of, okay, well, the green team isn't actually going to win. You had the reporters. They're probably going to win. And we really couldn't come up with another scenario of what was going to happen.
Yeah, we really couldn't. And this time, I think it's very up in the air. Like, you know, Sherry and Cole could come from behind and pull out the victory.
I'm not ready to say that I think that's likely scenario. Yeah,
I'm not saying it's super likely, but I'm saying it could happen.
Yeah.
You know, the Beekman boys can win the Amazing Race.
Jess, for the hashtag tonight, somebody put this in the chat room earlier, and I really like it. What do you think of Brodoku?
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 Is it too hard to spell?
I don't think so. B-R-O-D...
O-K-U?
O-K-U? Sure.
All right, Brodoku. That's the hashtag.
Okay. I like it. I think that's pretty solid. All right, Jessica Lee, so that you could read Jessica's recap of this on previously.tv, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Where I also recap Survivor.
Also recapping Survivor. You could check that out every single week. Will you be giving this a, what is it? What is it? Thumbs up, thumbs down, or it's, watch or don't watch?
Yeah, watch and skip. And it's basically like between every commercial break, you break down what happens and decide whether if you're DVRing this, if you're going to fast forward through it.
Okay. All right. So you're going to give this a positive grade tonight?
Oh, of course. This was maybe the best leg all season.
Best leg all season. All right. Good stuff. You can follow Jess on Twitter. She is at Haymaker Hattie. I will be back on Monday or Tuesday with Zach and Rachel. We'll have our exit interview for you guys. We'll talk with them about all of this. Ask them about what point in the process they picked who was going to run the roadblock and much, much more in our exit interview. And then 1 week from tonight, Jess and I will be back last Friday in April. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
Okay. Only 3 weeks left of the Amazing Race. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on robisawebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.